Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies. I am excited to be back with you again. I know that it's midweek and normally we would have class on Mondays, but I wanted to be able to give you all of the information that I believe that God has given me to help all of us go to the next level in our lives to discover who we really are. When we left off on Monday, we were talking about the internal image versus the actual present. And someone asked me that, or stated to me that they didn't understand what I was saying. When I talk about an internal image, oftentimes we have this idea of how we think things should be, how we think things should go. And so oftentimes we live in our imagination as opposed to dealing with the reality of the situation or where we are, because it's safe to live in your imagination than it is to face the reality of your situation or your circumstance. And so we just create this place that really don't exist because we're hoping and praying that the reality of our situation or how we feel transforms into the imagination of what we think it should be. And so that is the definition of what I was meaning when we left off on Monday. Today we're going to actually talk about the vicious cycle. We talked about going back or holding on to the familiar. The familiar is a vicious cycle. It is when we're trying to come out of something, we find ourselves back into it. We find ourselves starting, stopping. And we don't realize that oftentimes that we are actually wandering through the wilderness of our life, not ever being able to fully embrace the promises of God because we lack understanding. We live with uncertainty, and we find ourselves being double-minded and unsure, and which creates a lot of different emotions, because in our hearts and in our minds, we believe, or we come to believe, that we will never be who God created us to be, simply because of our own self-perception. And so we're going to deal tonight again with the vicious cycle. And I'm going to start out with prayer, and then we're going to proceed. And then also, too, just know that I am also going to email you a worksheet, and I really want you to fill this worksheet out. I don't want you to go beyond the worksheet, because our next segment before Monday, we're going to be talking about the virtuous cycle. But tonight we're talking about the vicious cycle. So this is part one of the worksheet. And so, again, I'm going to email it to you. And I really want you to follow the steps of sorting. And we're going to get to the root of, we're talking about the fruit, the manifestation, but we need to get to the root of the problem. And so this means oftentimes us digging down into the basement of our hearts, into the seat of our soul, to go back into sometimes childhood, sometimes back into our first relationship where we developed this lifestyle, where we developed these vicious cycles that is now continuing on into our adult life, and it's affecting every area of our lives. And so I'm really, really, really excited. I was talking to the Lord today, and I was thanking him for this class. I've taught a lot of classes, been through a lot of things, and so I didn't understand why I went through so much last year, but now it is becoming clear. And I'm thankful that God would even allow me the opportunity to be able to share with you my experiences, to share with you my darkest hours, my victories, my tears, everything. And I'm going to be as transparent as I possibly can So again, I'm very thankful that for those who are continuing on with this journey, my prayers are with you. I think about you often. And so, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, God, for who you are. Lord, we magnify you and we glorify you. God, take us deeper, deeper into our heart. Take off the Band-Aids and the scabs so that we can truly be healed once and for all, to be whole, to give us clarity, to open up the eyes of our understanding, so that we'll know, not that we'll guess, but we'll know who you have called us to be. And so we're so thankful to you for loving us enough to walk us through this process. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, ladies, so if you, hopefully you have your Bibles before you. If not, grab them. And we're going to go to Matthew 9 and 17. Again, Matthew 9 and 17. And so I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Okay? And it says, let's go back to 16. It says, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Look at that cycle. For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Okay? And so we often find out that the reason sometimes that we can't move forward is because we still have old mindsets. You're in a new place. You might be on a new job. You might be at a new church. But if you still go to that next place with an old mindset, it's not going to work because you can't put old wineskins into new wineskins or else they'll burst. So we cannot put new ideas into old mindsets. We cannot get new results with old behaviors. So we need to deal with the residue or the effect that situations and maybe growing up has affected us, okay? We want to change, but is it a lack of willpower that we're not changing? Is it a lack of confidence? Is it that we lack faith? It might not be that our faith or that our confidence is low or that we lack the willpower, but it might be that we're stuck in old habits and we're old mindsets. And if you understand a cycle repeats itself. It comes every few days, you know when your cycle is coming on because it's about this time next month. And, you know, it's interesting as I say that when I was married, I knew the cycle. I knew, oh, things been going well too. Okay, so it's been going well for about a week. And so here comes something else within the next week. Oh, okay. So I could begin to see the cycles of our relationships and cycles. So you have to really examine your relationships because they have cycles. Some of them have cycles, you know. And so you find yourself still arguing about the same thing. You make up, break up, back together. You feel this way, you're happy, you're sad, you're back at feeling that way again. All right? And so we want to change these old habits and create new mindsets. All right? So, again, we're talking about the vicious cycle. Let's go to Luke 11 and 24. Because what we want to do is we want to break of negative thinking. Breaking the cycle, the vicious cycle of negative thinking. Luke 11, let me find it. Y'all, I'm all over the place. Luke 11 and 24. and we read this in Monday's lesson. It says, when an evil spirit leaves the person, it goes into the desert. And on Monday we also discussed, let me stop there, on Monday we found out that when we have clutter, first of all, that it's not of God, that it is a spirit. It is a spirit. Confusion is a spirit. Being uncertain comes from a spirit. And it says, it goes into the desert searching for rest, but when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. Look at the cycle. You said, I can't find anybody else, so I'm going to return back to the person from where I came, right? So isn't that just like life or relationships or people or things? We find ourselves in this cycle trying to leave it, and we can't find anything, so we end up coming back. You know that relationship is not good for you, but you want to go back to it. You know that this is not a good friend, but you find yourself by yourself, and so because of that, you just stay in things that you should come out of, that you know that's not good for you. I can raise my hand to that because I've been there, done that. Things that I knew that was not good for me, but somewhere, somehow, I find my way back to the familiar, right? Okay, so then it says in verse 25, so it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Ladies, I really want you to be mindful and cautious of this. As you are sorting and decluttering your life, there are people who are going to want to come back into your life. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to give my own example. I left, got my own apartment, and separated, going through a divorce. Get my own apartment. We're trying to move forward. I got my children settled in, and then all of a sudden, my ex-husband wants to come back. Well, I knew it was not a good idea, but I didn't have anybody else. But, you know, in my imagination, I wanted it to really work. So I go back. And this was, when I go back, than it was before. See, be very careful when you start cleaning up your life. Be very mindful and protective of it. If you know in reality, this is not good for you, don't let your heart override your judgment. I'm going to say that again. Do not allow your heart to override your judgment. It is not going to be better. Sex is not going to smooth it over. Him throwing scriptures or saying, you know, or her, you know, your friend trying to say, let's go shopping, and, you know, all of these things. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You know, don't let your heart override your judgment. Okay? So then it says in verse 26, then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. Look at this. And so that then is worse off than before. Look at the cycle. Look at the cycle. You got rid of something. You decided in your sorting to let some things go, right? So you let them go, and you find yourself bringing those things back into play slowly. But this time, it's you're in worse shape than you were before. This time, you're more frustrated than you were before. This time, you're angrier than you were before. You're more bitter. You're more resentful. And so you have to be really, really cautious and really mindful of not going back into the familiar. As we are sorting and decluttering our lives, we need to keep it clean. We need to keep it free. We need to keep it in a state that is going to bring about success and not create a place where we allow things to come back in that we know we should get rid of, friends that we should not let back in, people that we doing things that we know that we shouldn't do. Why? Because it's not beneficial to our purpose. It's not going to help us accomplish goals. Okay? So Matthew 15 and 11, 15 and 11. All right. It says, it's not what goes. Now let me go back a little bit to verse 10. Then Jesus called to the crowd, come in here. Listen, he said, and try to understand. Aren't we trying to get clarity? He says in verse 11, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. See, it's not what happens to us that defiles us. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. What are you regurgitating? What are you saying within yourself? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What are you saying? What are you reciting? I found myself last year being negative without even trying to be. It had become a habit. I found the negativity in everything. I always had something, and I didn't even realize until I got tired of hearing me, why did you just say that? I don't even know nothing to say. Why did you just express that? That wasn't even nothing to express. You could have kept that to yourself because that was meaningless. And so I had to really begin to check myself and say, son, you need to be more positive. Because I didn't used to be that negative. But so many things kept reoccurring and reoccurring that it came out naturally. Being negative just came naturally. So I had to make a conscious decision on being positive. It's easy to be negative, but it takes effort to be positive. Okay? So it's not what goes in us that defiles us, because what we deal with, it should be eliminated. But as opposed to being eliminated, we regurgitate it. He likens it to food. It's like eating something that goes in your mouth and that should come out. Right? It's waste. But what we do, we chew on it and we regurgitate it. Okay? So let's look at the definition of a vicious cycle. Let's look at the definition of a vicious cycle. A vicious cycle means one trouble leads to another that aggravates the first. A bad situation or behavior that is the cause of another situation, which in turn causes the first bad situation again. A repeating situation or condition in which one problem causes another problem that makes the first problem worse. Now, I believe I just said the same thing over and over again. I just read the same thing over and over again. Wanting something different, seeing different results, but doing the same thing creates a vicious cycle. Let's move on. All right, so then let me ask you these questions. Does your life seem like an endless cycle of negativity? The trouble is that the more frustrated and angry you get, the worse everything around you becomes. One bad event can quickly turn into an endless cycle of negativity. You ever went through something and before you know it was so negative, you just kept talking about it and kept talking about it. And then your friends kept talking about it and they keep talking about it. And then you get tired of hearing yourself talk about it. And it's just, and then every time they see you, they want to bring it up. And you're trying to move on from it. And then you find yourself engaging in this negative conversation again. Right. Been there, done that. This vicious cycle can really erode your self-confidence. It leads to stress and depression. Every time you go around this vicious cycle, every time you get in the presence of these people, every time you go through this situation, the hole of anger and depression gets deeper and deeper, often causing more bad outcomes. Right? So the key to breaking this vicious cycle is to understand what it is and how you got there in the first place. You see, these vicious cycles are no accident. You got there because of your own choices. I'm going to read that again. The key to breaking this vicious cycle is to understand what it is and how you got there in the first place. See, these vicious cycles are no accident. Excuse me. You got there because of your own choices. That should eliminate a lot of things right there. See, I want you to understand that if you look at it, one of the things that I looked at, I'm going to talk about me. One of the things that I sat down and I did was I kept wondering, and why do I keep going through the same thing? I went through this situation and then I went through this situation again, but this time it was worse. And when I sat down and I thought about it, the common denominator between all these people in these situations was me. Do you not know that you are the key component to all of these situations? Do you not know that the decisions that we have made placed us in this vicious cycle? Own choices. And that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard thing to deal with, knowing that I'm here because of the decisions that I made. I can't blame nobody else. I can't get upset with nobody else. I need to deal with me. You know, I hear women say this all the time. I do not like it. I do not like male bashing at all. They say, men are intimidated by us. You ain't been with all men. You don't know that. All men are dogs. You ain't been with every man. And if you keep attracting men who are dogs, dogs don't attract cats. They attract other dogs. So you have to be real mindful of the things that you say and the decisions that we make. You know, the Bible declares that there are multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. You have to decide to come out of the valley. You have to decide that you want to be healed. You have to decide your latter days are going to be greater. You have to make a conscious decision and effort to want to change. And change is not overnight. So you have to keep moving forward. We have to keep working at this. We have to keep pressing toward the mark. Okay? So we are going to talk about how it works, how the vicious cycle works. Something happens, you are resisting, and so you find yourself resisting the reality of what is going on around you. And this resistance moves you into a negative space where you desperately want something or someone to change so that you don't have to accept what has happened. Let me say that again. How the vicious cycle works. Something happened. You are resisting the reality of what is going on around you, living in your imagination. We talked about that earlier. So you resist the reality of what's going on around you, and this resistance moves you into a negative space where you are desperately wanting something or someone to change so that you don't have to accept what has happened. So because we don't want to accept what has happened, we would rather live in the imagination of a thing than deal with the reality of it. And when we don't deal with the reality of where we are, where we've been, how we got here, what we are doing, we are resisting change. We are resisting change. because we don't want to accept what has happened. We don't want to accept what is going on. So we sit up and we have these discussions with ourselves. Well, maybe they didn't really mean that. And well, maybe if I did this, then maybe they wouldn't be like that. Maybe if I cut my hair, or maybe if I grow my hair, or maybe if I lose weight, they'll love me more. Maybe we start trying to justify, because we want something or someone to change. We don't want to accept the reality. And that is something that is so important. You have to accept the reality of where you are, what you have gone through. We are allowing what we have gone through to define us, and we are not what we have gone through. We are not. I don't care if they told you that you were worthless. That don't mean that you have to accept that. It doesn't matter if people don't agree with you. You don't have to accept that. Fine, you don't agree with me. I'm still going to be me. I'm still going to move forward with my life. So the first thing to a vicious cycle is we resist change. So write that down. Number one is resistance to change. All right. Your initial resistance usually triggers an emotional response. Anger or frustration at the undesirable situation quickly turns to feelings of revenge. Somebody ever hurt you so bad that you wanted them to feel how you felt? We might not be revengeful. We're going to go out and try to hurt somebody physically, but we might do little subtle, you know, things to try to get back at them. Like, if they call me, I'm not going to answer the phone. And if, then, you know, I'm going to wait. You know, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to do something to irritate them. You know, I'm not going to show up to church on time. I'm going to be late like everybody else is late. And I'm going to show them. You know, we do that. We do little bitty things. We do little bitty things. So number two is revenge. We find that, you know, wanting to get revenge in some kind of way. I don't care. You can go to church every Sunday. There is a party. Somebody can hurt you so bad. You can go through something so bad that you want people to hurt like you hurt. And hurting people hurt people. Right? So, although the revenge may feel temporarily satisfying, it only serves to further damage you by depleting your own awesomeness. It depletes you. When we resist change, when we find ourselves wanting people to feel bad like we feel, what we are doing is we are depleting ourselves. They've gone on. They're doing whatever they want to do. And we are sitting up here crying and emotional, but they're going on. They're not even here. Giving people the power, we talked about that, the power of your dreams, the power of being you. You've given away you're giving away your power, right? So whether or not they are direct consequences to your actions, it won't be long before your revenge leaves you feeling guilty, so you go back to resisting. So now you look at the cycle. You resist change. You want people to hurt like you hurt, so that's revenge. Then you feel guilty. Then you go back to resisting change. So now you are stuck in the resistance stage because you are not conceptually grasping what is and making a choice to do something different. So you get stuck in resistance. You get stuck in resisting change because you refuse to understand, to grasp grab hold to see the situation for real, what it really is. Because you have to not, did you know that to not make a decision is to make a decision because you just made a decision not to do something? So you can't be straddling the fence. You can't be torn between two opinions. Now, if they're in the let go file, let them go. They are in the keep file, keep. If you are unsure, stay there until you are sure of which way to go with that. But if you feel in your heart that you should let something go, grasp the concept of that, deal with that, and move forward. And stop, because what it is, we put things in the let go category, and then we have a conference call with ourselves. Well, if I really let this go, then what? I mean, you know, if I really let him go or let my friend go, you know, I don't have another friend in place. And friends are hard to come by. And we've been friends and we've been together for so long. And I really don't know if I can open up my heart again. And I really don't know if I can love again. And I really don't know. And so we start rationalizing. So we take them from, I know I shall let them go, to now I'm going to keep them. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep this mindset easier that way. Obviously, it's not safe. And obviously, it's not easy. Because if it was, we wouldn't be struggling still. If it was that safe, if it was that easy, we still wouldn't be angry. We still wouldn't be bitter. We still wouldn't be resentful. We still wouldn't be hurt. So what you're saying is, this is what we're saying. When we resist change, this is how we sound. I really want to stay in the familiar, and I really enjoy my life being cluttered. You know, I really like how they treat me, even though it's not good. It's better than some, you know, than having nothing, you know. I really, really don't want my purpose, and I really enjoy not moving forward with my life. And I just want to stay right where I am, and I'm so comfortable with it, and I have so much joy. I get joy out of not knowing who I am. So staying in the familiar and being safe, this is such a wonderful place to be in. Yeah, so everything that I put in my let go file, I'm going to put in my keep fake file, even though I know it's not good for me. But, you know, I'm going to just live in my imagination, and hopefully someday things will change. But for now, I'll just be safe in the familiar. Don't sound like a good place to be in, because whenever you resist, that's what you're saying. Lord, I really don't want to know who I am. You know, I know I'm praying to come out of the familiar, but you know, I'd rather stay in the familiar than to walk by faith. You know what I mean? God, I mean, you know, I know that at least I know where I'm going over here in the familiar. I'm not quite sure where you're gonna take me. So I trust the familiar, God, more than I trust you. So I'm going to stay right here in Jesus' name. Amen. No. We have to come out. We have to come out of the familiar. So number one is resistance. Number two is revenge. And number three is resentment. It's resentment. It is bitterness. It is because you're bitter because you feel like you've been treated unfairly. You're bitter and angry and upset and frustrated because you feel like you didn't do anything to deserve this. You didn't do anything to deserve being treated like this. You didn't do anything to deserve being talked to like this. And I'm going to tell you something. And oh, God, help me. Last year, when I was going through all that stuff and people were having meetings about me, and they took me off the praise team, and it was one thing after another. And so they were bullying me behind closed doors, and it was just a lot. And I was sitting in service. I was doing everything I could to do what was asked of me in the position that I was holding. And I was sitting in service, and they had a guest speaker from Houston. And the gentleman, while he was preaching, I walked to the back to get the pastor a towel. And as I'm walking back, somebody whispered in my ear and threatened me, one of the other leaders. So when I went back and I sat down, I started rocking back and forth because I wanted to leave right then. And I was hurt. I was tired. I didn't understand what was I doing. And God, why me? And so while he was preaching, he stopped and he said to me, "I'm trying to preach to me about you." He said, "You're sitting there, hair, makeup, dress, cute, you know, nice." He said, "But you're so angry." And he said, "God said, and maybe this will help one of you. He said, God said that they would never come back and apologize to you. These people will never come back and apologize to you. Said, you got to let it go." So that you can move forward into what he has for you. So what I'm trying to tell you, these people who hurt you, these people who mistreated you, they may not ever come back and apologize to you, but you have to let them go so that you can move forward into who God called you to be. Now, I'm not telling you that's easy, but I am telling you that it will be worth it. It will be. And do you not know that when he said that to me, the people, the church was right there? The people, all the people were sitting right, and I had to hold my head up. And I didn't cry in front of them. I walked out of there knowing that God was for me. You have to know that God, to know that. So when we resist change, the first thing that happens is denial. Number two, anger and anxiety comes into play. Psychologists call them twins. Anger makes you want to fight. Anxiety makes you want to take flight and leave the situation. Number three, it brings about confusion. Number four, it brings on depression. And number five, it creates a crisis. When we resist change, number one is denial. Number two comes anger and anxiety. Number three comes confusion. Number four comes depression. Number five, it creates a crisis. So we're going to close with this last part in 1 Kings 19 and 9. We're going to talk about the cave woman. Yes, 9. It says, there he came to a cave, talking about Elijah, where he spent the night. This was after Jezebel had threatened to kill him, that he decided to, he developed anxiety and decided to leave the situation. In the Bible, when you study the history of that, Elijah ran 200 miles off course, all because of a threat. And so he went into a cave. And to be honest with you, it's so easy to not deal with things and just go into this cave mindset where you don't deal with anything and you isolate yourself and insulate yourself so that nothing could get in and you can't get out. Last year, when I did that, I developed anxiety. The thought of going back into a church. People say, "Oh, you need to go to church." Well, it wasn't about the building. You don't understand. I have anxiety. The thought of going and joining another church. The thought of building another relationship, be me again, so I hid myself because I thought that I was safe. But then if you read the story, it talks about God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing hiding yourself? What are you doing? What are you doing here? Why are you not dealing with what happened? Why are you running away from something that you need to deal with, something that you need to confront?" And so as you read the story, it goes on to talk about the different things, the earthquake and all these different things. And God says, I wasn't in any of that confusion. I wasn't in any of the noise, the babble. I wasn't in any of that. The Bible says, but he spoke in a still, small voice. And so when we declutter and when we decide to be still, we will realize that God wasn't in any of that, but that he would speak to us with a still, small voice. So our time is up. So I pray that this was a blessing to you. And we will talk again later this week on the Virtuous Cycle. Until then, have a wonderful and gorgeous evening. Bye-bye.